أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته، ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البتحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى، وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، اللهم اجعلني من حزبك، وإن حزبك هم الغالبون، واجعلني من جندك، فإن جندك هم المفلحون، واجعلني من أوليائك، فإن أولياءك لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: إن عليا لأخيش في ذات الله. صلوات The Holy Prophet has said about Amir al-Mu'mineen wa Imam al-Muttaqeen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam that certainly Ali is very severe when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ali alayhi salam, whose birthday we are celebrating as a belated ceremony, is the person who represents every name and every sifat and attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in its perfection, where nothing higher can be expected. Someone who represents Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similar to how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam used to represent, except that Imam Ali was not a Rasul. And there is no way we can single out any attribute of his personality and say that this attribute is higher than the rest, and downplay the importance of other attributes of his personality. Because the sifat of Allah are Ainul Dhat. And someone who not just represents the sifat of Allah, the attributes of God, in addition, he is representing the names of Allah as well. And not just he represents the names of Allah, in addition, he represents the Dhat and essence of Allah as well. So someone who is a comprehensive and jami' madhar and reflection of all the names and attributes and the dhat and essence, and keeping in view that the sifat of Allah are ainul dhat, so there is no way you can single out one of his aspects of the personality and say that this is higher and the other aspects are lesser. But tonight I would like to mention his most controversial and most hated aspect of his personality, which was most hated by the kuffar and most hated by the mushrikeen and most hated by the munafiqeen. And that aspect of his personality which earned him the large number of enemies, which according to my teacher, the enemies of Amir Mumineen alayhi salam are much more than his lovers. Somebody who has much more enemies than his lovers. His lovers are also very staunch lovers. No matter what you do towards them, they're not going to give up the love. Because that's also in the hadith, you know, that Imam Ali alayhi salam himself has said that لَوْ صَبَبْتُ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِ صَبًّا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يُحِبَّنِي مَا أَحَبَّنِي. If I give away the entire dunya to a munafiq, he is not talking about $1 million or $1 billion, the entire dunya, please stay with me. If he says, لَوْ صَبَبْتُ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْمُنَافِقِ صَبًّا, if I pour down the whole world into the throat of a munafiq, in other words, he's still not going to love me. وَلَوْ ضَرَبْتُ بِسَيْفِ هَذَا, and if I hit with this sword of mine on the neck of a mu'min so that he may end up hating me, he will still not hate me. That means even if I kill a mu'min, he will still not hate me. And even if I give the whole world to a munafiq, he is still not going to love me. ذَلَكَ أَنَّهُ قُضِيَ فَانْقَضَى عَلَى لِسَانِ النَّبِيِّ الْأُمِّي, because it has been decided and settled by the tongue of the Ummi Prophet that لَا يُحِبُّكَ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا يَبْغُضُكَ لَا يُحِبُّكَ مُنَافِقٌ وَلَا يَبْغُضُكَ مُؤْمِنٌ, that munafiq can never love you and mu'min can never hate you. So Imam Ali alayhi salam's love and hate has become iconic in Islam, and the reason he has those high level, high number of enemies was his adalat. And this aspect of Imam Ali's personality, his adl and justice, which earned him the highest number of enemies throughout the history, and even today, those who hate Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, actually their hatred goes back to his adl, not to his zulm, because he didn't have no zulm. So their hatred goes back to his adl. So let's pay attention. The Holy Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, you know, that which I am paraphrasing in my words, is a very long hadith. I cannot say the whole hadith word by word. I am paraphrasing the gist of the hadith in my own words. That Prophet said to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Allah has put upon you to do the jihad against the maftuneen, the way Allah put upon me to do jihad against the mushrikeen. And Imam Ali alayhi salam asked the Holy Prophet, what is this fitna that, you know, basically jihad against this is compulsory upon me? And Prophet replied that this fitna and mischief is related to those people who would be believing in Tawheed and oneness concept, and who would be believing in Risalat and messengership of Rasulullah, but they will oppose my Sunnat and they will oppose my command. So, and Imam Ali, when he asked him, the Prophet said they will oppose my Sunnat actually. And then when Imam Ali asked him that why shall I fight against those people, the Prophet is talking about the prophecies of the future. Why would I fight against those people? And Prophet replied, because they will add bid'at into the religion. Bid'at means things that somebody adds into the religion. Idkhalun fi din ma laysa fi din. Adding something into the religion which is not part of the religion. If you do anything with, you know, considering it to be part of the religion, although the Prophet never said, although Allah never said, it's not part of the religion. So if you do anything in the name of Islam, this is not part of Islam, and you do and you add it into the religion, you do it in the name of Islam, that is called bid'at, an invention into the religion, which is strongly condemned and haram to do and prohibited act and severely punishable act in Islam to add bid'at. Some of the bid'ats are extremely punishable in Islam. So they would add bid'at, the inventions, into the religion and oppose my amr and command. And so then Imam Ali alayhi salam said that you have already prophesied about my, you already promised that, you know, I will become shaheed and a martyr, but seek dua from Allah that he makes me a martyr in your lifetime. Prophet said, if that's the case, then who's gonna fight against the Nakithin and Qasitin and the Mariqin? Now, who are the Nakithin? Nakithin are those who broke the Bay'at and Oath of Allegiance. Prophet, in his hadith and his prophecy, is referring to the people of the camel, Ashabul Jamal, who fought the battle under the leadership of Aisha against Imam Ali alayhi salam. Because these are the people who accepted Imam Ali being the Khalifa. You know, it doesn't matter, Sunni brothers, Shias, everybody, everybody knows and accepts the fact that these people were the ones who accepted Imam Ali as the legitimate Khalifa. But then they broke their oath of allegiance and rebelled against the legitimate ruler. So that's what in Arabic we call it Naqsul Ahad. Naqsul Ahad means breaking your covenant. Somebody who breaks his oath of allegiance is called Naqif. So Prophet is prophesizing in the hadith that you're going to fight against the Naqifin and the Qasitin. Qasitin in Arabic is derived from the word, Arabic word of Qasd, which means Zulm. Qasd means Zulm. So now Qasitin means the Zalimin. So you're going to fight against the Zalimin, and this is what we refer, Prophet is referring to the band of Muawiyah and his followers, the, you know, so greedy, world worshipping, oppressive, arrogant people who have no principles and no rules, just worshipping the pleasures of this world, so they can do whatever it takes to earn dunya and its pleasures. And the Mariqeen are those who are the Khawarij. Maraqa means Kharaja. Mariq means Kharij. Mariqeen means the Kharijin or Khawarij, those who have stepped out of the limits of Islam, which Prophet is referring to the Khawarij who fought the battle of Nahrawan against Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So who is going to fight against those three categories of people if you die in my lifetime? So, and I Prophet said that I'm giving you I'm promising you that you're going to be a shaheed and a martyr, and your beard will become red with the blood of your head. That has been prophesied by the Holy Prophet. Yeah, so sometimes Imam Ali alayhi salam used to say, "Ayna ashqal akhirin?" Where is the most shaqi and stone-hearted person of all the later generations? Because his killer has been quote-unquote classified in the hadith as the most stone-hearted, sh- shaqiyul qalb person of all the later generations. Just like ashqal awwaleen, the most stone-hearted person of the earlier generations, is this is a term that we use for the person who slain and massacred the camel of Prophet Saleh, the miraculous camel that came out of the mountain in the time of Prophet Saleh, and the killer of that camel was dubbed to be, you know, Ashqal Awwaleen. So Imam Ali's killer is the Ashqal Akhireen. So sometimes he used to say, where is the Ashqal Akhireen to color, you know, my beard, in other words, with the blood of the head. So Prophet said that, how would be your sabr on that occasion? Imam Ali said, it's not a place of sabr, actually, you know, it's a place of shukr of Allah. So when you become shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's basically that's the place where we do shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that matter, in other words. So, and then we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam asked the Holy Prophet, if you can elaborate a bit more about the future events. And then Prophet said that soon after me, the people, my nation, will enter into fitna and mischief, and they will start doing the bringing excuses to misinterpret the verses of Quran to fit their lifestyle, to fit their likeness. They will do ta'wil of Quran. They will misinterpret the verses of Quran to fit their interests, in other words. And also they will consider bribery to be okay in the name of gift. They will call it a hadiyah and gift, and try to legitimize the crime of bribery. They will consider alcohol to be legitimate in the name of Nabiz. Nabiz is the, you know, is the alcohol that was taken out from from the raisins. Some of the very famous personalities of Islamic history were, some of the very famous companions of Islamic history were basically big time drinkers of Nabiz. Till their last moments of their life, they used to drink Nabiz and never quit alcohol. Prophet has already said in his hadith that, you know, which is a longer hadith, I won't tell you the whole hadith right now because that's a off the subject, but he has mentioned that someone who drinks alcohol and dies away from this world without doing tawbah will not be able to even see the face of Rasulullah on the Day of Judgment. That means he would be so far, far away among those billions and billions and billions of human beings, that anybody who drinks alcohol and dies away from this world without doing tawbah will never be able to even see the face of Rasulullah. You don't even deserve to see his face. You are so far away from the markaz and center of nur. So you are drowned in the zulmat if you do that. So these people will misinterpret the verses of Quran to fit their interests, in other words, to justify what they want to justify. And in that case, you sit home until the people come to you. And when the people come to you, that's where you got to according to the ta'wil of Quran. Ta'wil means the al-ma'na al-batini, the hidden meaning, the real hidden meanings of the verses. There's an apparent meaning of Quran, which is zahir, and there's a hidden meaning which we call the batin of Quran. So you ستقاتل على تأويل القرآن كما قاتلت على تنزيله. Soon you are going to fight the people according to the real meaning of Quran, the way I fought against the people over the apparent meaning of Quran. the zahir of Quran. So Imam Ali alayhi salam had to fight with the munafiqeen and hypocrites. Apparently they were believing in Tawheed and Risalat, and they were praying and fasting, but in the batin and the hidden reality, they were against the sunnah of Rasulullah and actually against the essence of all the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's what hypocrisy is all about. So Imam Ali alayhi salam, finally he asked Rasulullah that will adalat and justice be reaching to the society through us or through someone else? And Prophet said, no, the Prophet said it's gonna reach through us. That means through us adalat and justice would be spread all over. And when Imam Ali heard that, he replied, Alhamdulillah ala ma wahaba min fadlihi. All praise belongs to Allah for what He bestowed from His extra mercy. So this is an extra mercy of Allah. Adalat and justice is spread on the whole, on everyone through Imam Ali alayhi salam. He is the center of adalat, and there is no one doing adalat other than him and his followers. So now that this adalat has already been prophesied by Rasulullah in his authentic hadith, we find Imam Ali alayhi salam, some of the very common examples in his lifetime how he is taking care of the justice issue. The first very obvious incident, which is frequently mentioned by the Sunni scholars, you look at Ibn Abi al-Hadid al-Mu'tazili, how he talks about that, and several other famous Sunni scholars when they talk about, you know, Hazrat Usman and his doings in his time of government, and how the misuse of the Baitul Mal money, the national treasury was misused and donated, given to his relatives, this son-in-law and that relative and that relative, people were being favored unjustly out of the national treasury, which was usurped, and all those obviously wrong behavior mentioned by the Sunni scholars in their books. People came to Imam Ali al-Islam. He's also living in Medina. And he said, Ya Amir, people said that, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin, at least you go and do nasihat to Uthman, you know. This is not right. Imam Ali al-Islam went to Hazrat Uthman and said that, well, the best of all the servants of Allah is the leader who is guided and he guides others. And وَإِنَّ شَرَّ النَّاسِ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ إِمَامٌ جَائِرٌ ضَلَّ وَضُلَّ بِهِ. And the worst of all the humans is a tyrant ruler who is misguided and he misguides others. And فَأَمَاتَ سُنَّةً مَأْخُوذَ وَأَحْيَا بِدْعَةً مَتْرُوكَ. So he makes the sunnat of the Holy Prophet, which is an affirmed, accepted sunnat, makes the sunnat dead. وَأَحْيَا بِدْعَةً مَتْرُوكَ. And he makes an invention into the religion alive. He makes alive the invention into the religion. And the Holy Prophet had said that there will be a leader in my ummah that will be slain and marked and killed. And after that massacre, the doors of killings will open up. That will never stop till the day of judgment. I'm afraid you end up being that ruler. Imam Ali said it on his face. And he said, okay, fine, get some margin, some chance, some time, borrow some time from the people who are complaining against me. Go and borrow some time from them so that I can repair and fix the wrong that I have done. Imam Ali alayhi salam said, as far as the issues of the Medina goes, you don't have any time. You have to issue verdict right now. And as far as the issues, anything related to outside the Medina, then the time that you have is as much as it takes to write your message and command and send it. That's the time you have. Basically, you don't have any time. You just have to take the action. This is why Imam Ali alayhi salam has been hated throughout the history, because of his strictness over this adalat, unbending behavior and zero compromise, which lots of people dislike because they want extra favors. And the second example of Imam Ali alayhi salam's adalat is when we find that his real brother, Imam Ali alayhi salam had four, there were four brothers, Talib and Aqil and Ja'far and Ali alayhi salam. And all those four had 10 years of gap. So 10 years between the age, 10 years gap between the age of all four. So, you know, Talib is the biggest, and then Aqil, and then Ja'far, and then Imam Ali alayhi salam. So Aqil is in the middle, and he's 20 years, approximately 20 years older than Imam Ali alayhi salam. And all of them were extremely poor. Aqil was very much loved by Hazrat Abu Talib. And even when the drought and famine took place in Makkah, and they were extremely in a very bad situation and suffering big time, Prophet went there to, you know, to get, at least to help out Hazrat Abu Talib, to at least get some of his children so the Prophet can raise some of his children. So Hazrat Abu Talib replied back that, well, you can take anyone other than Talib and Aqil. So he loved Aqil a lot. Aqil was very much loved by Hazrat Abu Talib. One of the names, either both or just the name of Aqil was mentioned by him. So Aqil came to Imam Ali alayhi salam several times, not once. It's narrated in the history. He came several times and he was demanding some wheat, gandum, some wheat to eat because he has nothing. And he brought his children with him, you know. And children, Imam Ali says in his hadith, which is long, I'm not narrating the exact words of all the whole statement. So he says, I saw his kids, their faces become blackish. They were poor, and of course the dust has settled on the face. He was asking wheat from me, from your money, any money of the people. Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he used to distribute the Baitul Mal, after distributing Baitul Mal, every time he used to pray two rakats of prayers then and there before leaving for his house. He used to pray two rakats of prayers and then he used to address the earth. Ishhadi anni mala'tuki bihaqqin wa farraghtuki bihaqq. Be a witness that I filled you up with haqq and I emptied you with haqq. That means nothing of the national treasury remained in my control, and I dispersed and distributed every single penny of the national treasury to those who deserved it. So nothing is with me. That's how he was. So we find that Imam Ali alayhi salam, when Aqil came several times, finally, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he had some iron steel piece in his hand, which he put it into the fire that was burning next to him. So he warmed that piece of steel and brought it closer to the body of Aqil. And Aqil started to scream. And that's where Imam Ali alayhi salam said that, أَتَّئِنُّ مِنَ الْأَذَى وَلَا أَئِنُّ مِنْ لَظَى. And you are screaming from this pain. That means, in other words, you are screaming from this piece of steel that I warmed up out of play. Amusement, play. This is just a play. You know, just you warm a steel for a few moments. What is the warmth of that steel as compared to the heat of the hellfire? So you are screaming from the pain of this fire that I, this thing that I warmed up out of a play, and you are dragging me to do something that will land me into the hell fire, so shall I not scream from the hell fire? And the same story has a different color when you listen it from the words of Aqeel himself. So when Hazrat Aqeel alayhi salam is narrating that story, where he narrated the story in the Darbar of Muawiyah. So in the Darbar of Muawiyah, when he narrated the story, Muawiyah asked him, okay, can you tell me this famous story? I heard a lot about that, that your real brother is a ruler and you went to seek some more wheat to eat and he didn't even give you nothing. Aqeel said, when I went there, he first asked my kids to be sent out of the room. So I sent the kids out. I thought he's going to give me some gold. But the same story that he warmed up some piece of steel and brought it close to me. And I started to scream. And I noticed that Imam Ali is reciting this verse of Holy Quran from Surah Al-Mu'min, verse 71. إِذِ الْأَغْلَالُ فِي أَعْنَاقِهِمْ وَالسَّلَاسِلُ يُسْحَبُونَ. When they will be dragged with the chains in the necks. And then he said to me, لَيْسَ لَكَ عِنْدِي فَوْقَ حَقِّكَ الَّذِي فَرَضَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. You have nothing near me except the same amount which Allah obliged. إِلَّا مَا تَرَى فَانْصَرِفْ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِكَ. Go back to your house, family. And that's where Muawiyah had replied that Hayhat, Hayhat Aqimat al-Nisa an yaridna bi mislihi. That means the women are unable to give birth to a child similar to Ali. This is what Muawiyah said about Imam Ali alayhi salam in his own darbar. That's also narrated by the famous Sunni scholar Ibn Abil Hadid in volume 11 of his Sharh. So that's the incident number 2. Let's move to the incident number 3, when we find that Abdullah ibn Zam'a is one of the followers of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he thought himself that I am very close to Imam Ali. So because I am close, maybe he's going to give me something more than what every other regular person gets. So Abdullah ibn Zam'a came to Imam Ali alayhi salam and demanded some more money from the Baytul Mal. Imam Ali alayhi salam replied that in hadhal mal laysa li wala lak. This money doesn't belong to me nor does it belong to you. It is neither mine nor yours. Wa innama hiya fay'un lil muslimin wa jalbu asyafihim. This money is basically, you know, belonging to the Muslimin, part of the faith concept of the money. And فَإِن شَرِكْتَهُمْ فِي حَرْبِهِمْ كَانَ لَكَ مِثْلَ حَظِّهِمْ. If you were part of the army, you would get what is your share, you know, just like any other person in the army gets. وَإِلَّا فَجَّنَاتُ أَيْدِيهِمْ لَا تَكُونُوا لِغَيْرِ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. And if you are not part of the army, then basically this money doesn't belong to you. It belongs to them only. I mean, it's easier said than done. When you have relations with people and friendships with people and they are very close to you and they come to you and you have ties with the people, and you may even think that your ties will be severed and broken if you don't fulfill their demands, but you don't care about what happens. As long as Allah is pleased with you and you are sticking to the path of justice, you don't care what happens, what the people say and what the people do. It really doesn't matter. What matters in your eyes is Allah is pleased. That's where you provide the nuraniyat to your soul. Because the hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam says, لَن تَتَّصِلَ بِالْخَالِقِ حَتَّى تَنْقَطِعَ عَنِ الْخَلْقِ. You can never get connected to the Creator until you get disconnected from the creation. example number four, we find that when Imam Ali alayhi salam is coming back from the Battle of Siffin, and one of the heads, and he entered into his capital city Kufa after returning from the battle, the head of the tribe, one of the heads of a tribe which was Harb bin Sharahbil, he came, he was on his foot, and Imam Ali alayhi salam is riding his horse, and this guy is walking next to Imam Ali alayhi salam. This is an insult of a mu'min, because either you are also riding, or if you are not riding, the person who is riding the animal should get off the animal. Just like in today's world, if you somebody is standing and talking to you and you are on the driving seat, you don't get off to say salam and meet and greet that mu'min. This is a kind of insult to that mu'min, that you are sitting and you're not even standing in the respect of that moment, and he's standing outside and you are just sitting in your car and talking to him. Same is the situation. If Imam Ali al-Islam is riding the animal and the guy is standing, so he would have just ignored the situation. He's the ruler. What's wrong if I'm riding a horse and the other guy is standing? So what? I'm the ruler. But Imam Ali cannot even ignore that small delicate point of insult for a few moments, and he said, "Irji, go back." That means, don't walk alongside with my horse. Don't continue to walk along with me. Go back. فَإِنَّ مَشْيَ مِثْلِكَ مَعَ مِثْلِي فِتْنَةٌ لِلْوَالِي. Because walking of a person like you with a person like me, I mean, he's part of the people, the public, and Imam Ali is the ruler. Any member of the public walking next to the ruler in this situation, where basically he's walking in Imam Ali, he's riding over the horse, this is an insult of that mu'min. Fitnatun lil wali, it's a fitna and test for the ruler. And mazallatun lil mu'min, it's a zillat for the mu'min. It's a means of zillat for a mu'min. So neither Imam Ali wants to end up into a fitna and test and mischief, to start thinking, you know, that, well, hey, I'm superior, but I'm a hakim and ruler, so what if he is walking next to me? Doesn't matter, I'm the ruler. This is arrogance. You cannot think that. And he cannot even allow the mu'min to be insulted by walking next to him, not riding on the equal, as an equal way, like riding another animal. Prophet used to make somebody sit back behind him, you know. يَرْدِفُ خَلْفَهُ. In the hadith we learn, when Prophet used to ride an animal, يَرْدِفُ خَلْفَهُ, he used to make somebody as radif, somebody second to him riding on the same animal. In the Arabic culture, it was considered to be disrespectful. When you are riding a horse, you make somebody else sit on your back. You expect somebody to take his own horse and sit on his horse. Why should he sit behind your back and make it uncomfortable for you? But Prophet used to, whenever if he used to find somebody walking on foot, Prophet used to make him sit on his back. This is the peak of modesty and tawadhu of the Holy Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. And the izzat of a mu'min is an amanat of Allah. It's not our choice to decide. Because Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَوَّضَ إِلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أُمُورَهُ كُلَّهَا. Allah has surrendered all the affairs to the mu'min. So we have perfect freedom to choose in all the affairs of our life. وَلَمْ يُفَوِّضْ إِلَيْهِ. Perfect freedom in all affairs, it doesn't mean license to do the haram. We can eat whatever we'd like to eat within the limits of halal, and dress up the way we want to dress up, live wherever we wish to live, within the limits of halal. There's no license for any haram. So, but there's one thing that Allah did not surrender, did not submit into the hands of a mu'min, and that is أَن يُذِلَّ نَفْسَهُ. That he makes him his own self insulted. This izzat and dignity that we enjoy as believers in Allah is not ours. This dignity belongs to Allah فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So actually izzat is his. We are muazzaz and having dignity because we believe in him and all what we are supposed to believe in, the risalat and the walayat. That's why we are muazzaz and dignified. So this is an amanat and trust, and we cannot decide on our own to do anything or adopt any policy that will cause disrespect towards this amanat of Allah, which is our dignity, which actually is Allah's dignity. So if a mu'min compromises over his izzat and dignity, he's insulting Allah. He's not insulting himself. He's actually insulting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Example number, we have 7 minutes to go. Example number six is the fact when Imam Ali alayhi salam had all his shirt with all those patches on it, and finally he wanted to put another patch. He wanted to sew the shirt once again. He went to the tailor. The tailor guy said to him, "Ala tambiduha ya Amir al-Mu'mineen? Why didn't you just throw away the shirt? It has already so many patches on it. What else do you want? Why don't you just throw it away?" It's not that Imam Ali didn't have access to thousands and thousands or tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. He had very good access to a lot of money. It's not the matter that he had no access. Imam Ali alayhi salam had said in his hadith that يَخْشَعْ لَهُ الْقَلْبِ وَتَزِلُّ بِهِ النَّفْسِ وَيَقْتَدِي بِهِ. That means this kind of shirt, in other words, this is going to make the qalb khashi. This is going to make the soul feel the fear of Allah. And this is going to, tazillu bihi nafs, this is going to tame the desires. Wearing that sort of shirt is going to tame my desires. Tame the desires. Everybody has desires and wishes. And our wishes and desires of the nafs and the and our whims and wishes actually drag us towards greed. So that's how you can, the desires can be tamed. And وَيَقْتَدِي بِهِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And that's how the believers will take an example and follow. And also in another hadith has had been mentioned that he said that عِنْدَ الصَّبَاحِ يُحْمَدُ الْقَوْمُ الصُّرَاءِ. When the morning arrives, those people who travel in the night will be praised. Example number 7, when Talha and Zubair, Sa'id ibn al-As, Abdullah ibn Umar, Walid ibn Utbah, these people were holding secret meetings in the city of Kufa against in the time of the governance of Imam Ali alayhi salam, and they were ready to wage a rebellion and ready to basically there was a rebellion taking place later on. What was the Battle of the Camel? That was a rebellion against Imam Ali's Khilafat. So basically the thought process and the meetings and discussions took place in several houses in Kufa, in Basra, and in several occasions. So the big shots who were holding the meetings were the ones I mentioned to you. And some of the ashab of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the followers of Imam Ali alayhi salam, came to him like whom? Like Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar ibn Yasir is a very nice person, you know. Although he's not one of the greatest three, when somebody asked Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about what happened after the death of the Holy Prophet, and Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, talking to him, said, "Irtad al-nas illa salasa." That means all the people became murtad except three: Salman and Abu Dhar and Miqdad. Wal Miqdad. And he said, "You won't even include Ammar?" And he said, "Hasa hisatan thumma raja'a." Ammar was also one of those. Ammar was the, basically he got inclined That means got inclined towards some other side, but then he returned back. So if you are talking about those who are the pure ones, those are the three. Islam was always lonely, nothing to worry about. So what I was saying is that some of the very good companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam, like Ammar ibn Yasir, Abul Haytham, Malik ibn Tayhan, and so they came and they said to Imam Ali salam, why don't you just bend a little, you know, these guys, Talha, Zubair, they need no money. They were receiving money from Baytul Mal, from National Treasury in the time of Hazrat Uthman. Oh, why don't you also give a little bit money to them to calm down the fitna? What's wrong? At least your government will become stabilized. Stability is very important. Your government will become stable. The same situation you encounter every now and then today with Islam and Islamic leadership and Islamic state. When Imam Ridwanullah alayh gave the hukum against Salman Rushdie, la'natullahi alayh, you know, see, we in Islam, we spread love. We never spread hate. But we are the victims of the hate. We are the victims of the worst hate crimes in the name of freedom. Because I read the satanic verses myself with the garbage language and the trashy stuff and calling even Prophet Abraham to be a bastard. So he's an apostate according to the Judaic law as well. Whether they follow their own law or they don't want to follow their own law, that's their issue. And he's an apostate according to the Christian law as well, because Prophet Abraham is believed by all. Isn't that right? So we don't spread hate. There are others who are spreading hate in the name of freedom. And the same advice was given to Imam Ridwanullah alayh, you know, our government is not that strong financially because we just accepted the resolution 598 of the Security Council and exchanging commissions from the European Union recently. So we should have waited for a while until the government gets strong and then you can issue a verdict. So look at what Imam Ali alayhi salam said to these of his companions who came to give basically, you know, give some favor to these people, at least to calm down the fitna. And Imam Ali alayhi salam said that atamuruni an atlub an-nasra bil jawr. Are you here? Are you trying to order me that I seek victory through doing injustice? That means by doing injustice, I become victorious. Is that what you want? أَتَأْمُرُونِي أَنْ أَطْلُبَ النَّصْرَ بِالْجَوْرِ فِي مَنْ وُلِّيتُ عَلَيْهِ وَاللَّهِ مَا أَطُورُ بِهِ مَا سَمَرَ سَمِيرٌ. As long as this world survives, I swear to God, I'm never going to do that. وَمَا أَمَّ نَجْمٌ فِي السَّمَاءِ نَجْمًا. And as long as one star in the heaven is following the other, I'm not going to do that. If the money belonged to me, I would have distributed it equally among them. For kayfa wa innamal malu malullah. The money doesn't even belong to me. It's the money of Allah. If it was mine, I would still distribute it equally. Now the money is not even mine. How can I give more to them? This is what makes Imam Ali to be hated. So, as soon as people came to him in Medina, that you be the Khalifa, you're ready to do the bay'at, oath of allegiance towards you on the fourth place, after 25 long years of waiting, Imam Ali alayhi salam, after that, he delivered a sermon, and he said, Wallahi, لو وجدته قد تزوج به النساء. I swear to God, if I found it that the money of the National Treasury has been used up in marrying the women, that means somebody borrowed the money from National Treasury, spent it in the dowry or the obligatory gift the husband has to pay to the wife that we call mahr, even if the money has been used up for the sake of merit, I'm still going to take the money back.
أَوْ مُلِكَ بِهِ الْإِمَاءَ لَرَدَدْتُهُ.
Certainly, I'll take the money back. فَإِنَّ فِي الْعَدْلِ سِعَةً. Because in justice lies expansion. Expansion is there in justice. وَمَنْ ضَاقَ عَلَيْهِ الْعَدْلِ فَالْجَوْرُ عَلَيْهِ أَضْيَقُ. Whosoever considers justice to be tight, that means unacceptable, intolerable, in other words, whosoever takes justice to be intolerable, he should understand that injustice is more intolerable for him than justice. If injustice happens, that will be more intolerable for him. So that's the way Imam Ali was.
So we find that finally, a person of that justice will always be killed. So Imam Ali al-Islam was killed because of his justices by the unjust. And before his shahadat, he delivered his one of the final sermons, where he has said, Nawf ibn al-Fadala al-Bikali narrates that I was there in the Masjid of Kufa, and Imam Ali al-Islam was standing there, and he delivered the sermon, Al-Jihad, Al-Jihad, Ibadullah, Ala wa inni mu'askir fi yawmi hadha, faman arada al-rawah ilallah fal yakhruj. I'm basically rallying for, I'm rallying the army. Imam Ali was preparing for the second, you know, for another final fight against Muawiyah to just end the whole thing. So, ihtimalan, he may be referring to that event. So I'm rallying the army, whosoever wants to go to Allah, get along. And then Nawf ibn Fadala says that was the time. So Imam Ali al-Islam also said that, Aina Ammar, Aina Ibn Tayhan, Aina Dhul Shahadatain, Aina Ikhwani Alladhina Rakibu Tariq Wa Madaw Ala Al-Haq. Ammar got killed, of course, in the Battle of Siffin. Muawiyah killed him. Malik Ibn Tayhan, another very respectable companion of Imam Ali, killed by Muawiyah in the Battle of Siffin. Dhul Shahadatain is the title of Khuzaimah bin Sabit, one of the very respectable companions who was with the Rasulullah in the Battle of Uhud and fought with the Prophet, fought with Imam Ali alayhi salam against Muawiyah and became Shaheed. He is the one for whom Prophet accepted his one witness in the place of two regular witnesses of Islam. So he was called as Zushahadatain, the one person carrying the weight of two witnesses. Khuzaimah bin Sabit. So Imam Ali was recalling his companions. Aina ikhwani alladhina rakibu tariq. Where are my brothers who tread the path? Wa madaw ala al-haq. And they were steadfast. They were on the haq. So, and soon after that incident, we find Imam Ali al-Islam was killed. And Nawf ibn Fadala says, فَكُنَّ كَأَغْنَامٍ فَقَدَتْ رَعِيَّهَا وَتَخْتَطِفُهَا الذِّئَابُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. We are just like herd of sheep. Just like a herd of sheep has no caretaker, you know, no herdsman to take care of the herd. And you find the wolves can attack from every side. And basically, the herd are helpless. So our situation was like that after the shahadat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that we were just like a herd with no one, no caretaker, under attack from all the sides. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to understand and to follow the ma'arif of Quran and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and to follow the path of adalat of Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وايد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين لا سيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.